You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with New York Times bestselling author and serial entrepreneur Tony Chan, the CEO of investment firm The Cueball Group and co-founder of Minilux, a tech-enabled retail lifestyle brand with a mission to elevate the nail salon industry through experience, design, health, and hygiene, and professional fulfillment. Mr. Chan joins us today to discuss the importance of hiring for character instead of competence. Mr. Chan, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
It's great to be on. Thank you for having me, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. So why is there a need or urgency for this topic of goodness now?
Well, I think traditionally we've defined goodness in terms of competency, and it's not that competency isn't important. Of course, we all need the baseline of skills to succeed. But we have been long on teaching competency and short on teaching and cultivating character and values. And in the long run, I think it's culture and values that ultimately drives corporate culture, engagement, and long-term competitive advantage. I think when you look in the last 10 years, it's still quite shocking to me that overall cultural engagement, employee engagement across enterprises in the U.S. is at a dismal 33%. Flip side of that, two-thirds of people at the workplace today, maybe even some of the listeners out there, are either indifferent or wanting to leave their workplace.
Mr. Chan, tell us, what does goodness really mean, especially when it comes to leadership?
Well, goodness really has to center around, as I said, beyond competency, a core set of character values. And those cornerstone values begin with a foundation of truth. From truth, you go to compassion, and ultimately towards an objective of building a sense of wholeness. Everything has to begin with that foundation of truth. Truth is about having a mindset of humility. It's about having a practice of self-awareness and ultimately actions of integrity. Compassion, in a similar fashion, has to begin with a mindset of openness. You have to practice being empathetic. And ultimately, that translates into acts of kindness. And wholeness is just about having an attitude that we're almost afraid to have in the workplace, one of love, respect, and wisdom. And ultimately, if you combine these things of truth, compassion, and wisdom, and wholeness, truth, compassion, and wholeness, with good competency, those are the companies that really, really have durable long-term advantage.
I understand you looked at 100 different case studies. Why is this so hard to do?
Well, it's so hard to do because I think in many ways we are, bred to learn competency. We also don't really see character in people until over a long period of time, usually. Character and values tend to be revealed longitudinally. But another factor that makes it super hard to do is that, ironically, with increasing success, success defined to be promotions, fame, a degree of wealth, you have forces, like these extrinsic forces, working against you. And we're almost cognitively biased against goodness. I'll use one example. Much of goodness has to come across over the long run, but yet behavioral economists and psychologists have shown quite conclusively that it is just human nature to be short-term focused. We tend to overestimate the short-term and underestimate the long-term. It's why people cheat. It's why they can't have diets. It's why we do plastic surgery. So how do you kind of, get around some of this, what behavioral economists call present-day bias, and how do you really cultivate values and character over the long run?
Most helpful information shared there. Thanks for that today. We are joined by New York Times bestselling author and serial entrepreneur, Mr. Tony Chan, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, after conducting business online for nearly 20 years, one thing is certain, your online appearance is very important. Design Crowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs, startups, and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web design from designers around the world. Design Crowd has over 550,000 designers ready to help you with awesome creative ideas. So get the perfect custom design every time. Check out designcrowd.com/network for a special $100 VIP offer for our listeners, or simply enter the discount code network when posting a project on Design Crowd. Again, that is designcrowd.com/network. Now, Mr. Chan, continuing on, how can we become better judges of people?
Yeah, becoming a better judge of people really comes in three buckets. One is you cultivate your own self-awareness. Two is you ask better questions in say an interview process. And third is your method of post reflection on those interviews. So let me just briefly touch on each one. Self-awareness, it's really about understanding your strengths, weaknesses, and biases. But one element of self-awareness that really helps you become a better judge of people is understanding that you tend to evaluate people much more on their competency than on their character. We tend to judge people for, what David Brooks called resume virtues, what position they've been in, what title they have. So that's number one, just even understanding that you have a bias towards competency over character is the baseline for becoming better. Number two is, how do you ask better questions? Well, typically interview questions tend to be the form of a checklist and fairly conventional that lead to rehearsed answers rather than answers that help reveal. So an example there is the question of, what is your greatest weakness? Well, that tends to only yield three answers. I care too much. I work too hard. I'm too detail-oriented. So it doesn't really help you better judge the person, because most people would have rehearsed that type of question. Far more valuable are doing things that maybe, for example, my business partner has said, experiential-based time is far, far, far more insightful. So that might mean not just having a meal with someone, but, would you cook a meal with someone? That could be far more revealing. Turning the interview into something where you might take a walk with someone. Asking questions that go a little deeper towards expressing a point of view, such as, what single trait would you want to have from your mother and father? And then ultimately, when I say post-interview reflection, one of the simplest things you can do, and perhaps most powerfully, is not just thinking through about the questions you ask during a assessment period, but post that. Ask yourself the very simple thought experiment, do I have a sense of collegial affection? Do I believe I would have a level of respect, a mutual respect with this person? And would I have pride if this person came on my team? So affection, respect, and pride, just thinking about those things as your filter for, post-interview assessment is a simple framing that can get you pretty far.
In conclusion, what else can we do about it, and what can an average listener do for a call to action?
Yeah, there's many things we can do around this. One is, just on the practice of mentorship, understanding that all of us have an active duty, no matter whether we have direct reports, we're bosses, we're new entry people into the workforce, there's a duty of mentorship. And if you're trying to become a better mentor, try going out there and using this five-part set of questions to help someone else. Ask them, what are you really trying to accomplish? What are you doing today that's helping you get there? What's slowing you down? What will you do different tomorrow that will change that? And then end with, what can I do to help? That sequencing of five questions is a very powerful sequence towards just practicing and being empathetic and listening to helping others become a higher expression of their inner self. Ultimately, as a call to action and what I'm hoping to drive for with the writing of Good People, with the philosophy of the firm Q-Ball and Minilux that I co-founded, is this concept and movement that leadership and frankly the way we live our daily lives have to move to a higher level of goodness. And the call to action there is, can you just imagine having 10 people over the course of your life that you are fully committed to imprinting goodness upon? Not just goodness of competency, but the level and type of mentorship and relationship that you're imprinting goodness of values, where you can serve as that person's cheerleader, that person's anchor, that person's sounding board, towards elevating to the highest and fullest version who they are. And that's what I hope people will take up as the challenge. Can they each take on, you know, 10 people over the course of their lifetime? And it sounds like, you know, maybe to some it sounds like a lot, others sounds like a little. But if we each change 10 people, and they change 10 people, and they in turn change 10 people in the positive manner, well, that small set of actions, it may sound audacious, but that can actually change the world.
Well, you're certainly right on target and a great topic to cover and focus on, and we really appreciate your taking the time to join us and share your expertise in all regards here today with the audience. If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information about you and on today's topic.
Well, they can get to me on my Twitter feed. It's at Anthony Chan. That's A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-T-J-A-N. But that's at Anthony Chan, and they can go and look for the book Good People and find that at goodpeopleaboutgoodpeople.com or at our homepage of my principal firm, Q-Ball.com, Q-E-B-A-L-L.com.
Well, good enough. Again, it has been our pleasure to have had you, Mr. Chan, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
We've been speaking with New York Times bestselling author and serial entrepreneur Tony Chan. He is the CEO of investment firm The Q-Ball Group and co-founder of Minilux, a tech-enabled retail lifestyle brand with a mission to elevate the nail salon industry through experience, design, health and hygiene, and professional fulfillment. And to get all the details, visit either aboutgoodpeople.com or Q-Ball.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. And once again, as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.